Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me for the first ever Beautiful Listener Q&A. I've low-key wanted to do this for 2 years, like ever since I started the podcast. Like this has been something that I've tried multiple times of like fielding questions and just didn't get any responses. But this time, I got enough answers to record a full podcast, making that bridge from me to you a lot more visible and active, because I think this is the whole premise of Opening Presents is that we're all on this journey together, taking deliberate incremental steps towards like our highest expression, healing our trauma, learning about ourselves and one another. So nobody grows and becomes in isolation. Like you need community, you need support, you need an arena to express. So, thank you every single person that sent a question, new friends, old friends, and shout out to all the people that didn't. You have an opportunity for the next one to send one in. My goal is to get somebody that does not live in the United States to send questions. So whatever part of the world that you're in, you can reach me via Instagram at Aaron Robinson or my email, AaronRobinsonCO@gmail.com. But I would love to hear from you all as well. So this morning, I'll give like a little preface, set the stage. This morning, I'm just in my living room. Last night I had an amazing breathwork session with my friend Ryan Williams, who's been on the podcast before. but it's just so wild, like how life unfolds. And when you're in that flow, everything just happens so easily and effortlessly. So I get a text from my really good friend, Steph Montoya, who's been on the podcast probably like one of my earliest episodes, like 5 or something. But she lives in Chicago, and she came out here for something for work and just hit me up out of the blue and asked if I was free. And so we met up and got some food in the morning, and then we went to my studio and checked out my creative space. And while we were hanging out, like I was telling her about the breath work that I had done and just how transformational it was for me. And Ryan had hit me up earlier in the week. Today's Saturday, so earlier in the week, he told me like what days he was available to do a breathwork session. And I looked at our text message, and it just so happens that he was available today, which was yesterday. So I hit him up, and lo and behold, we're able to organize and get a breathwork session in with Steph and Ryan and myself at my place. So I like swept and cleaned the house and put the incense up, cleaned all the dishes, made my space very inviting for the session, and it was amazing. It's probably been my 5th breathwork session so far with Ryan, and every single time there's always something new. Something that I had mentioned to him was that like the intensity kind of seemed to diminish with each time. And this time I kind of put two and two together that I feel more comfortable in my home, so I'm able to like really dive in deeper with the session. And Steph had an amazing experience as well, and we had a lot of time afterwards to integrate the lessons that came up through our somatic experience and relating to the body, and purging and releasing the stress that is tied in within our tissue. I won't go into the depths of it because this is a Q&A, but that's kind of like setting the stage for at least the beginning half of the Q&A, where a lot of the questions had to do with like healing and transformation and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that came up for me within my breathwork session was feeling like the tip of the spear, and feeling confidence and strength and clarity in the mission that I have to awaken and to create space for others to engage with their own practice and their own process of awakening. But first and foremost, by doing it, by like leading by example, like I have to walk in my own integrity and serve in the best way that I can in my creative pursuits and in my spiritual, I don't want to say a pursuit, but practice and dedication. So I meditated in the breathwork session on that strength and feeling very confident in that I'm on the right path. That's something that is a huge relief for me. And there's no more questioning that anymore. I'm sure there's going to be twists and turns along this journey, but like I am firmly rooted and I know that I'm doing the right thing with my time and my energy. And I can't be dissuaded from that place. So that's where that analogy of like feeling like the tip of the spear like is coming from, where it's like, oh, I just need to keep expanding and growing along this path. So Steph left this morning. She's on a plane right now. And I asked her, I was like, hey, like, do you have any questions for this solo cast? Because I figured I was going to, I had to talk about this latest session. But then leading it in, I asked her if she had any questions. So she says, what is strength to you? Kind of elaborating on what we expressed yesterday. And how has its meaning evolved over time? So strength now means an unwavering commitment to come back to self and to truth. Like that's the strength, is not giving in to what the world is telling us is the right way to go about life or how to create a life. It's the strength is like coming back to the listening. So getting quiet and listening to what is emerging from us and not denying that. And the strength is fighting the illusions that are constantly bombarding our perception and our awareness that are like intentionally put out there to distract us from our truth. So strength is knowing that I have to come back to self, and that's where I'm going to find the guidance and the resilience to continue forward. I used to think that strength was putting up with a whole bunch of shit, and how good could I be at dealing with things that were unpleasurable for me and things that I didn't like. That's what I thought strength was putting up with other people's shit, putting up with my own bullshit and not changing and just struggling and suffering. And the fact that I was still alive was proof and evidence that I was somehow strong, even though like strength in that instance is like letting go of those things. Like it's not a forceful thing. It could be just like a letting go thing. So that's how it has evolved over time, was that I engage with strength as coming back to self relentlessly. The next question, we already started the Q&A. The next question comes from Ryan Williams, who was leading the breathwork session yesterday. An amazing human being, probably like one of the most like connected, tapped in spiritual beings that I know. And something that I told Steph about Ryan was that he was probably one of the first people, if not the first person, that I've felt that could hold space for me. I'm so used to holding space for others, and there's rarely like a place for me to like really explore the depths of my being in all of its expressions, and knowing that the other person has capacity to not be swayed in any direction in a negative way or whatever, or like they can contain themselves while witnessing my own expansion or whatever direction I go to. And it was like the first breathwork session I had with Ryan, like it was the first time where I was like, I felt comfortable enough to let go completely into the experience and know that he was fully capable of supporting me. And that trust is something that was earned very quickly. So Ryan's question was, where do you feel challenged the most in relationships? Okay, so that's a great question. I feel challenged most in expressing my needs, like letting people know, like, this is what I need to feel supported, or to feel reciprocated, because it almost like throws you into like this being perceived as needy or having expectations and whatnot, when it's really just like a respect thing, a self-respect thing, and like giving the person adequate information to discern for themselves, like, is this something that I'm capable of, or is it something that I'm not capable of? And if they're not capable of it, then it's like you have your answer, rather than being quiet and not expressing these things and then just guessing and kind of holding things in and creating judgment and tension and having an elephant in the room 24/7 farting up a storm. And it's just like, yo, like, can we like crack a window in here? So I think starting early by kind of, I don't say starting early by like laying it on people, but if it's one of those relationships or partnerships that you're wanting to like invest more of yourself in, I think that clarity and expression of needs is extremely important. But interestingly, like, a lot of my relationships are so freaking like easy because we're both upfront committed to like growth, and like we understand each other's intentions. So like my relationships, I feel like we don't even have a lot of those like conversations unless it's like we're both like, hey, like, what do we need to reach the next level? I don't know. I feel like there's like always like a, like expressing needs and all that kind of stuff is like when you're just trying to become an adult within romantic relationships. That's kind of like the point where it's like, all right, these things need to be said. But like platonic relationships, it's just like, for me, it's just sharing in the excitement that we have to create the future with one another. Okay, so next question. From Suave the Jedi, how do you practice being more honest with yourself? Whew, that one's rough, because I think there's a lot of pain in it and a lot of discomfort, because we're so comfortable with being uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Because when I'm not being honest with myself, I'm still following through with the treachery. Meaning, in a lot of senses, being with someone or having proximity or hooking up with somebody that I'm not that interested in. That's where I experience it the most, is when I am giving someone a part of myself under most circumstances. Like, I know that it's not the right thing for me, but for whatever reason, I'm willing to sacrifice my dignity for the sake of companionship for the short term. And I feel like I know that this isn't right, but I'm doing it anyways. And practicing being more honest with myself is recognizing it, that feeling within it. And then when that fizzles out and there's like another opportunity to commit the same atrocities, just being honest of like, okay, I have a decision in this. Like, you're still in the driver's seat around it. And regardless if you choose yes or no, you still love yourself regardless. It's like, oh, like, I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing. Like, if you disarm the scenario with illuminating what the facts are, like, I'm doing this out of like a need for validation. I'm doing this out of like a trauma response. I'm doing this out of loneliness. I'm doing this out of fear, or I'm doing this because I just want to have fun and I deserve a hall pass, or whatever the thing is. It's just knowing why you're doing the thing and not following some sort of half-assed logic to perceived as a certain way or whatever. Like, you know why you're doing the things that you're doing most of the time. So I think it's just having compassion with yourself and know that you're still going to make mistakes. And at some point, the high is not going to be as potent. And that's when you can kind of like start experimenting with like letting go of the illusion or the lies that we tell ourselves. But yeah, it's just allowing ourselves to do, like, I don't beat myself up over anything. regardless of what it is, it's like, I'm not going to sit here and chastise myself. Like you're a good person. I'm a good person. Like, we all make mistakes and whatnot, but it's like every single day is an opportunity to do something new and to show up as a brand new person. Next question is by Kylie Courtright, best back in the game. We go to the gym together. What are the most challenging and rewarding aspects of your healing journey? The most challenging aspect, I feel like, is it's very isolating because there's not a ton of people genuinely working on themselves like that. So I do find it to be a little bit isolating, and it's a slow grind. Like, you're investing this time and energy in meditation and healing, and like, it's just a lot. It's a lot of time, and it's very, very, very slow. And then the thing that keeps me into it is that those incremental shifts over time, and you don't get to choose when those shifts get to happen, because it's like you awaken a little bit more. You start to understand your past. You start to draw connections. And then parts of yourself start to emerge. Like, you get a little bit lighter and a little bit more playful. And everyone has their own version of what their awakening looks like. But the rewarding aspect for me is like becoming more of who I truly am, and becoming more fearless in what I have to offer the world, and creative, and allowing myself to express and to be happy. Like, that's like the rewarding part, is like, I'm allowing myself to be happy, and I'm not putting these prerequisites of like, oh, I have to do X, Y, and Z to enjoy myself, and if I don't have those things, then I'm not going to be happy. It's like, no, I'm choosing now that I'm going to live this way, and I'm going to enjoy the people that are in my life. Like, I know where the value is in my life. It's in my connections. It's with the people that are in my life. And the more that I invest into myself, aka the challenging task of healing and evolving, like, the better my relationships become, because it's a reflection of the relationship that I have with myself. That's the best part of it, because it's like I'm relating to myself in a more authentic, compassionate way, and then I'm relating to others in a more authentic and compassionate way, and everything's better from that. Thank you for the questions. Next question is from Libby Corliss. Have you participated in plant medicine ceremonies such as ayahuasca, and can you share your experience and its impact on you? Yes and yes. I won't give the full rundown of the ayahuasca thing, but you can check out episode 16 with my good friend Yang Tim, where we dive right into the ayahuasca experience. And it was a lot closer to the actual experience. And you could also check out episode 1, because that was like the transition point for me of like, after the ceremony, and then I was like, I got to start a podcast. So yeah, check out episode 1 and episode 16 of Opening Presence. So yes, plant medicine, ayahuasca in particular. Whew, that was stepping out of the matrix and entering the spirit realm 100%. I think a lot of us, we're so like deeply programmed and disillusioned at the same exact time, meaning like we walk this premeditated path of what we should do and how people have kind of, our parents and our society have kind of like forced us into like walking this path. But then like our higher conscious mind is like, why am I still doing this thing? But you can't force your body out of these mechanical systems. So that's, I think that's kind of like what I'm getting from that question, is like, oh, I'm interested in trying to expand, because I know that there's a deeper truth. I know there's something that's yearning to be expressed. And I knew that that was something that was for me as well. Like, I went in to my ceremony with the question, like, what is my purpose? And yeah, that's like a general, like, common question, but it wasn't quite honest because I knew what my purpose was. I was just afraid of it. That was like the biggest thing, was just like I had a lot of fear about what does it mean to really commit to myself. So I went in with what is my purpose, and after drinking the brew from our ayahuasquero in our ceremony circle in Zihuatanejo, Mexico, diving into the spirit realm and engaging with this higher power, I landed at a more potent question of like, what are we? And the answer that I got was that we are joy. And with that, I understood that my purpose was to be joy, express joy, inspire joy on this planet. And everyone's going to have their own unique experience. And that's kind of like the spark notes of like what I left with. But the experience and the experience was beautiful. It was like nothing that I had ever experienced. But it also validated kind of like the intuition that I had going through life not being fulfilled, where I was like, there has to be something more. There has to be something greater and more beautiful. Like, I can't fucking follow these expectations that are laid out for me, because I never fit any mold that was placed in front of me. It was like, hey, like, do this, do that, do this, do that. Everyone's doing this and that. And I'm like, I'm different. Like, I don't do those things to the degree of commitment. Like, I do a lot of things, and I can't put myself into a box. And once I experienced that, it completely shattered that illusion that I was kind of like entranced with, that society put me in, that my parents and that my friends have kind of put me in, the expectations and whatnot. So breaking that mold, I was able to kind of imagine and apply the things that I knew to be true that I was afraid to act upon. So yeah, the impact is unquantifiable, because I'm living the impact right now. Like, with every intention, with every podcast, with every conversation is reverberating from that experience. Like, I saw visions of like a house that I built, or a structure that I built. It was like a giant, like, metropolis building. Like, it wasn't even like a house. I was like, oh shit, like, these are the things that I'm capable of. And I saw it all mapped out right in front of me. Like, you go in there with questions, like, you have to ask Grandmother Ayahuasca questions, and she'll show you and illuminate those questions. And some of those are going to be tough. Like, show me where I'm most vulnerable. Show me my biggest fears. Like, you'll get shown, and it'll knock you on your ass. But I think that's kind of like where the fear, like, how committed are we to our healing? Like, are you really about it, or are we just going to like get the gratitude and love, live, laugh, love tote bags and make like a little e-commerce business and not fucking engage? So, yeah, ayahuasca changed my life. Next question is from Steph Bianco. What does protecting your energy look like for you? For me, protecting my energy is knowing when I'm putting someone else's needs before my needs. If I ever find myself in that situation, I need to remove myself from a situation or create distance. There's also this experience, I'm sure some of you probably experience, when you can tell that somebody's kind of like pulling energy away from you, and you feel like you're leaking, like an oil leak, and you don't know where it's coming from, but you feel it like slowly dissipating. And whether that's a thought pattern, it's like somebody doesn't even have to be around you. Like, you don't have to be in the same room to protect your energy. Like, if somebody's on your mind or a situation is on your mind, it's like, how do you create a fortress around your energy and not allowing like this leaking to occur? Because just like any leak or like a faucet leak, it's like it'll create a puddle very quickly. And a lot of the times we don't even realize that we are leaking and fragmenting away from our energy. So protecting it, I think, starts with like fortifying it and taking account of maybe some of the areas where we are prioritizing another's experience over our own. And are there ways to exit that relationship? And why do we feel so bonded to continue to engage in situations that aren't feeding us and filling us? But the thing is, it's not anyone else's responsibility. So I think it's protecting your energy is like something that you never feel guilty about. Like, you can't feel guilty about setting a boundary. You can't feel guilty for removing yourself from a situation, or if you get invited or everyone's going out and you're just like, nope, like I'm staying in tonight. Like, I've been in that mode this whole like early fall, winter. Is, oh, everybody's going to do that. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I'm going to trust what I feel like inside, and I'm going to do exactly what my body is telling me to do. That's how we like advocate, is that initial gut feeling of like, I don't want to do that, or this is what feels good to me. Like, whether that's getting like a bowl of pho, you're like out by yourself and you're just like, you know what would make me feel good is some pho. I'm going to go do that instead of going to this event or whatever. It's just, it's a lot of discernment. You can tell when somebody's not pulling their weight in conversation or energetically. As people that are empaths and people that kind of help and serve others, it's easy to put up with an unfair split when it comes to nurturing and growing and collaborating. Like, some people just won't pull their weight, and not necessarily they're not coming from a bad place. They just don't have the capacity to meet you where you're at. Next question is from my brother, Saki. What is your favorite way to play, and how do you engage in the expression of play? I love this question. So, my favorite way to play is painting, because I get to just like really, really be a kid, and there's no structure at all. Like, but I can create beauty without structure, if that makes sense. Like, dealing with bright colors and just trusting and following the intuition and just letting flow occur. Like, that's amazing. I feel like I'm playing as well when I have conversations with you and your wife and Ryan and Steph and the people that are able to fill me up and to kind of nurture my own curiosity and creativity. I feel like that's a lot of playing, of just imagining what things could be and just expression. So I experience a lot of play in that. I've been really into dancing. I don't dance as frequently as I would like to, but whenever I do, I'm like, oh, this is it right here. One of the quickest ways to get into play is through psilocybin mushrooms. Like, that's been something like over the last like few months, just microdosing or just being at the studio, and I'll be painting and I'll just take a cap or two, and it brings me into that silly, playful space very quickly, and it reminds me and it allows me to engage in that space. Even when I'm not on it, it's like, oh yeah, like here's the truth. Here's the flow. And so that's what I really, really appreciate, the teaching that mushrooms do and they bring to me. That kind of like piggybacks off of the ayahuasca ceremonial question, because you can experience a ceremony with self. It's just like placing our intention on how we are feeling with our bodies, how we're existing in space. Granted, like a full ceremony is different than painting while dancing and lighting incense, but nevertheless, it is still like as healing. Play is healing. For sure, for sure. Next question is from Ashley Arasaki. What is your favorite childhood movie or TV show that has impacted your growth? Okay, so I thought long and hard about this, and the first thing that came up for me was Three Ninjas. Rocky, Tum Tum, and Cole. So, if you know me, you know I have like an infatuation with Japan. I grew up playing baseball, and I love food. And this movie has all of those components wrapped into one. And I love like quality things and design and style and martial arts. So growing up, like I remember just like gravitating towards like this sense of adventure. Like they were like growing up in the States, like the Three Ninjas, the kids, and they go like, I don't know the storyline of it, but I know they go to Japan and they have to like fight and do all this kind of stuff. But like, I remember this overview shot of like the city of Japan and just like how big it was and how bustling and like things were moving all over the place. And I was like, holy shit, like this is where I want to be. So it's always been like a central theme of like wanting to connect back to Japan. Like my brother was born in Okinawa. And so like the first few years of my life were in Japan. So I've always felt like this, connection of like, oh, like I don't really vibe with American people, kids, but I have a feeling that when I go to Japan, like that's going to feel more like home. Like my babysitter, like growing up, like when I was 2 years old was Japanese. So it was like, I used to like speak Japanese and like be with their family and all that kind of stuff. So, and like the masks that they wore just looked like super sick. Like the Three Ninjas masks, like when it comes to like products and quality and just design, I just have like an intuitive sense for taste, meaning style and for food. But yeah, that was the movie that resonated with me because it was just like as like a style curator, energy curator, experiential fucking God person, like that was the movie for me. I don't know if that answered it correctly, but I just love Three Ninjas. Next question is Christy Lee. Who is your biggest inspiration in your life? Biggest inspiration in my life is my mom, for sure, for sure. Like I am my mom with boundaries. Like, or at least like learning how to create boundaries. Cause this like expression, this care for people, this wanting to see others succeed is so like prevalent in my life. The only differences between me and my mom is that like I'm learning to not let that affect me negatively, like not help others to my detriment. That's something that the biggest lesson that I've learned from my mom. But yeah, she inspires me like every single day. Like that's like just making her proud is something that I have always wanted to do, but I didn't know that all she wanted for me was happiness. And so when I was young, like I placed the measurement of making her proud on whatever made her happy, or whether that's like going to college or whatever. But I didn't realize that all she wanted me to do was to be happy, and then she would be happy. So if I had focused just on being happy, then I would have made her proud. And I'm sure she was proud. I'm not saying she wasn't. But I knew that her seeing me unhappy was like the worst thing in the world. Like whether that was me going through college and just being depressed and not knowing like where I fit in the world and just not seeing my my gifts being respected by myself. Like, I didn't respect myself enough. But now that I'm happy, I'm like, oh, she's stoked. She's like, oh, that's what it was. So continuing to up my vibration and continuing to live on the shared mission of, like, I don't know, being of service and being useful in the world. I think I'm doing that. And yeah, my mommy. I guess this question, it's so funny that both of y'all have the same last name. But next question is from Danielle Lee. What is your biggest inspiration right now? My biggest inspiration right now is to create freedom and the opportunity to do so while the fabric of this nation or this world is completely becoming unwound, unhinged. Like, the lie, similar to the ayahuasca experience, it was like the lies and the deceit have been shown and uncovered. And it's baffling how many people are still trying to cling to the old system. Like, they just want it. Like, people that have suffered from the old systems are still trying to, like, keep it intact. I'm like, what are y'all doing? It's like, it's fucking wide open right now. Why the fuck are we trying to, like, create the same old system? So I'm inspired by the lies coming out, like the dysfunction on Front Street, and our freedom to choose what we want to do with our time and energy, regardless of if it goes along the lines of what everyone else is doing. I'm like, oh, it's a free-for-all. Like, I'm going to invest in the places where I feel like is the most important. Y'all do what you want to do, but I think I'm right. Another thing, while we're here, while Danielle Lee is still here, I want to give a huge shout-out and thank you, because over a year ago, I moved out of my last place. And just to show you, like, how synchronicity and, like, just being open and, like, living your truth and just trying to change for the better and trusting the universe and all that kind of stuff. Like, how does it manifest in the real world? I was moving. I put in my 30-day notice and I didn't have a place to stay about a year and a half ago. And Danielle, who had shown up to my nightly meditations on Instagram in 2020, I put something out on Instagram and Danielle reached out and said, like, hey, I'm in Denver for the next month. You can stay at my place. So she allowed me to stay at her place in Northwest with my dog. Granted, we had never even met in person ever. And it was like the perfect blessing at the right time. And I'm super, super grateful. For people like Danielle and for people like you who are all listening, it's like we can all show up for each other, like, in small ways or large ways, but I don't know. It doesn't take a whole lot. But just the fact of, like, someone showing up for me and not feeling like I have to do everything on my own, like, it was a reassuring event that if I, like, trust and believe that things will work out, and you just have to kind of step into that unknown space. It's either, like, stay at this same old house when I know that this change has already happened, and am I going to stay in this same spot even though the world is telling me to continue and to go a different route? The signs are all around us, but it's like, where do we gather the strength to press forward and to step into that unknown? So thank you, Danielle, for allowing me to step into the unknown, and thank you for creating safety and security for that time being for me and my dog, RIP Rocco. Next question is from my brother, Malik Coburn. He asks, is implicit bias excusable? So, funnily enough, I was like, all right, I think I know what implicit bias means. But so I'm going to pull it up so I read off the definition. Implicit bias is a form of bias that occurs automatically and unintentionally that nevertheless affects judgments, decisions, and behaviors. So implicit bias, in other words, ignorance, so it's excusable in some instances, but I feel like what are the stakes? I think that's kind of one of the questions, like what are the stakes? Like safety, security, employment, and how is implicit bias being weaponized and utilized on purpose to affect other people's lives? And I think, in short answer, it's not excusable because rare is it genuine. Like, rare is it genuine. Like, if somebody has an implicit bias that is detrimental, but you can sense, I mean, feel through that there's the intention isn't malicious and that the intention wasn't coerced by another faction, I'm like, okay, I have space and compassion, but I feel like it is a one-to-one basis. Like each one needs to be observed on its own. And is this person operating from a genuine place? But I would say upwards of like 85% like was intended, and people were taught to walk through life with their blinders on and were told that they were smart and that they were right and they're going to uphold these limiting beliefs. But yeah, the implicit bias may be unintentional for the actual offender, but it was intentional at some way throughout the tree. And I think you and I know like when it's connected to like a larger intent that is malicious against us. So I say it's trusting ourselves when we feel that like, oh, I didn't know, and da 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 da, or things don't shake out in a groovy way. We know there's no excuse for implicit bias. Next question, as I put in my password for my iPad. Next question, Arthur Dixon, what drives you to do your podcast? What drives me to do my podcast is, one, to make an impact. I feel like there's a lot of bullshit out there, and I'm not to say that I have everything figured out, but I'm willing to figure it out and put it all on the table and move things around to form my own opinions about things instead of just follow. So this is the perfect arena to do that because I'm learning in real time, and that's kind of what I'm here to do, is to learn in real time. And not stay stagnant into one sort of belief and just be like, yep, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to just stay there forever. I just always want to continue to grow, and this is a beautiful place to do that. I think another thing is to just express my deepest truths and engage in an authentic, real way. For the longest time, like, I grew up being very shy when I was young, and I was afraid to say the things that were on my mind for fear of being like excluded from a group or standing out or being seen or whatever. But now I'm just like, oh, I don't care like what the, like if there's any consequence to it. Like, hopefully the consequence is that you're inspired as fuck to start your own podcast. I already know Arthur has his own podcast. Play No Games, listen to it. It's available on all streaming platforms. Shout out to Kaz and Rob, his co-hosts. And in today's Rob's birthday. Happy birthday, Rob. So yeah, that's what drives the podcast. And to connect. The connecting is what I'm here to do. I feel like that's my greatest gift, is to connect with people. As I create deeper connections with myself, I'm able to create deeper connections with others. And my favorite thing to do is to connect to people that I know in different areas of life, and then bring them together and allow them to create their own unique, beautiful relationship. I'm like, that is like the best thing in the world. That's what I did yesterday with Steph and Ryan for the breathwork session. Like, I love that shit. I eat it up. Next question is from Adam Coca. Who is the most influential visual artist you look up to? I guess it's like he's a multidisciplinary, but Virgil Abloh is definitely like the most influential artist that I look up to because I see a lot of my process within him, and RIP as well. But just with his process, I like how you can see the execution, but then there's a through line from the origin. A lot of art is kind of like hidden in the shadows and you just see the end result. But with Virgil's process, you see all stages of it. And it's just like, oh, he's just living. He's just living his life. And these are the things that he's doing. And he's just sharing the things that he's doing. And it looks very natural and it feels very natural. And that's kind of how I live my life, is like my art. My life is my art. Is how do I artfully move from experience to experience while honoring the truth that is yearning to be expressed and trusting the things that come up are the things that need to come up and to be expressed in all mediums, not being confined by anything. That's what I feel like he embodies in exemplified freedom and just trusting and being like, all right, that's what I like. That's what I like. So yeah, Virgil, the GOAT. Next question is from Tyler Juanu, who is the host of the podcast, How Are You Healing?, available on all streaming platforms. What is the most prevalent theme that has been coming up for you this season? Woo! This season, I would say boundaries and self-respect. Boundaries and self-respect. Yeah, that's something that I didn't really do in the past, was just kind of like let things like fester, that festering energy of just like, it's almost like a help, like a forced like helplessness. Like I'm going to put myself in a helpless feeling instead of just being a causative influence on the situation or environment. So seeing myself as someone who can change things into a more productive or beneficial space and not just letting neglect be okay. So enforcing those boundaries, which means I have to do something that's very uncomfortable for me personally, and to express certain things and to put my foot down and call bullshit when I see it. That's something that this season has come up a lot. And whether that's like fighting for like my time and just like pouring into myself, self-respect, like I'm just going to keep investing in myself, even if things like feel slow and like monotonous or whatever. It's like I can invest my time and energy in a way that's productive, that's going to yield result in the future. So I got to fight for those things, and I got to be clear on why I'm moving in that direction and trusting myself. So yeah, boundaries, self-respect. Next question is from Lexi. What was your most transformative year so far and why? I would probably say like that year that I did the ayahuasca retreat, like 2020, was like the beginning of the pandemic was like that shift of like, oh, it's go time now. Like all hands on deck, like we're fucking moving. So yeah, that was like when I started the podcast. I was already doing like creative projects, but just like expanding community, really just like creating like an army of kindness, like the friends that I have. It was just like meeting so many people that resonated, and I'm like, oh, I want to pour into these people. And slowly but surely, like what was this, like 100 and something podcasts with like 100, like these are all people that have been on the podcast that are like my friends. Like these are like my family. And some of us like speak frequently, some of us don't speak so frequently, but like I'm connected. And that's kind of what started in 2020. And granted, it started before that as well, but I'm going to invest my energy and time into my own growth and other people's growth and have conversations that are about that. How do we move forward? So yeah, honestly, it's been just a lot of transformation over the last like 5 years. It's just been consistent and new parts of myself have emerged and I'm stepping into those. Tip of the spear, baby. Last question of this podcast. First ever beautiful listener Q&A comes from Omi. What is an important lesson in art that you've found resonates just as strongly as a life lesson? This is another great question. There are no rules. That's something that I experience in my art, is that all these foundational truths that we thought were kind of the structure of society and of art, and like, who are these people that created these rules? Oh, there are means of controlling us. Like, that's all a fucking lie. And I try to live through that and embody that. Granted, like, those programs are so deep within our software that it's like, you gotta fucking purge that shit. But there are no rules. So if there's anything that you feel like needs to be expressed into the world or needs to exist, like, what is the thing in between you and executing on that? Because gone are the days where we point at something outside of ourselves as the reason why we can't do something. Like, that's an internal issue. It's always an internal issue. So I guess leave with that. It's like, since there are no rules, what are you going to create? What are you going to do? Whew. Wow. That was dope. This was the first time I've done a podcast like this, but I want to do more of these. This is a reciprocal, like, this is y'all's podcast just as much as it's mine. Like, without you, like, I can't, there is nothing. I'm just talking into a void. But the fact that you are willing to sit here and listen to this, like, I'm super grateful for it, but, like, you can be more part of it too. Like, you can send me messages. We could have conversations. We can have larger discussions. You can send me things that you want me to talk about. Like, yeah, this is opening presents, you know. Word. Well, it's the weekend. It's Rob's birthday, so he's going to Lulu tonight. So I guess I'm going out. That's the only reason I'm. Otherwise, I wouldn't go. But I am putting down my boundary of going out. So Aaron's going to get fly and go out tonight. But make sure, if you haven't yet, please go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts and rate and review Opening Presents. Give me 5 stars, please. I just want this to get this out to as many people as possible. This is my life's path. This is my life's mission, or at least a part of it. I'm not going to stop anytime soon. But yeah, I feel confident that this is the way. And I guess all we have to do here, all you have to do here, is invest in your healing practice, connect with the things that resonate, connect with people that resonate, create the beautiful world that you see for yourselves and for your family, be of service, create happiness. That's it. We are joy. My name is Aaron Robinson, and thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.